Him. That's one of the purposes why God created you and I. To worship Him. To give Him praise. To magnify His name. And to serve Him with our gifts and talents. Amen. Praise the Lord. You welcome to this session, the service in Jesus' name. We're going to read from the Word of God this morning, and before then, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, we appreciate you, we give you all the praise and glory that is due unto your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe and secure. We thank you for the privilege of gathering together to worship together in your holy temple this morning. Father, we do not take it for granted. We sincerely appreciate you in the name of Jesus. Father, while we are here, I ask that, O Lord, you speak through me to your children this morning. Speak comfortably unto Zion this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, strengthen us, O Lord, in the race I set before us, that we'll run it and win the prize in Jesus' name. Amen. Before the ministration, I want to call on my wife and their sister Dora. They have a special song to sing. It has to do with the message for the day. Praise the Lord. Listen and be blessed and meditate upon the song. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bring you out.
Take your body.
God, he will surely bring you out. Give your body to the Lord. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. The message summarized in that song is a message of encouragement. And the title is, Through It All. Through It All. Our text will be from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28 says, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Then we also read from James chapter 1, verse 2-3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations as trials and testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Amen. Now, in the world we are in today, we are faced with a lot of surprises, unpleasant news here and there. And there are human beings like you and me feeling the pains and the pinches of disasters, of sickness, hardship, you know, floods and tornadoes, natural disaster and what have you. Plane crashes, accidents. They are human beings like you and me. They are not necessary just because they are not unbelievers. Some are Christian like you and me. I feel like empathizing with those who lost their lives in that plane crash. Even in that disaster, you know, mass shooting of people who were worshiping. God is not happy with all this kind of violence. It is not meant for you, it's not meant for me. But people are already in pain right now. Some have lost their parents, lost their children, lost their loved ones. And they are in pain. Some are really good Christians like you and me. And they are saying, God, why me? Why? Why of all the millions, why me? This message is a general message of comfort to those who are facing such hardship. And if you are facing that today, please take particular attention and encourage those who you know are facing similar situations. Like we read from James chapter 1. Say, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It was patience. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience does not come through reading a book or through education. I've been greatly educated. I've gone to Harvard. I've gone to this school and that school. I have patience. No. It comes through experience. It comes through hardship and testings and trials. And particularly for the children of God, why does God allow this thing to happen in the life of his children? That's what we're going to talk about today. Trials and testings and challenges are part of life. And depending on how we handle them, they can make or mar our future. A trial is a test of faith and patience, a test of faith, patience, or stamina through subjection to suffering or temptations. That's from Webster's Dictionary. Trials in life are not meant to make us fail. God permits them. He allows them. He doesn't allow them to make us fail, but to see how we can fly. God wants to see the best out of us when we come out through trials. See, when you're going through trials, you feel, the whole world is over. All troubles in the whole world. You are the one bearing it. But God is watching you. God is looking how you will react because he has given you his word. He wants to see how you will use his word to overcome. That's God's point of view during trial. We have testimonies. How do testimonies come? Testimonies come as a result of overcoming trials. The greater the trial, the greater the testimony. Do you agree? Yes, that's it. If you want to have testimonies in your life, be ready to face challenges and overcome trials. Amen. In order to mold his children, God sometimes, allows these things to melt us down. That is children. He allows trials and testing to melt us so that he can mold us. There's one song that says, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me and use me. If you want God to use you, if you want God to melt you, if you want God to mold you, then be ready to face challenges and overcome them. Amen. Job had trial. He was a man who faced a lot of trial, and he had this to say in Job 23, verse 10. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Do you want to come forth like gold? You must pass through the furnace. That's the reality of life. Oh. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou pass through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah 43, verse 2. Even disappointment sometimes, missed flights, can cause us worry and anxiety. The story of a particular couple, they missed their flight to Europe. They wanted to go and spend holidays there. The man was not happy. Well, what really led to it? The man had some stomach problem. Was complaining of stomach problem. And so the wife said, I'm not taking anything for granted. Oh, let's go to an ER. And they went. When they got there, they found that his appendix had burst. Not was about to burst, had burst. And you can imagine if they had gone on that long journey to Europe, what would have happened? But at the end, his life was saved, their lives were saved, and he had time to plan for another holiday. Sometimes when we are disappointed, we grumble and grumble. But do you ever know that sometimes disappointment can lead to blessings? It does happen. In that fated flight, there was somebody who said he missed the flight. I'm sure he must have grumbled even now, even though he's rejoicing right now that he didn't enter the plane. But at that time, it caused pain to him. Why? Of all, should I miss this flight? Why? 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 So this is life for you. Problems and life challenges can bring us closer to God as they may drop us to our knees and draw us onto a closer relationship with God. God allows testing to shape us to become what God has intended for us to be. Somebody wrote this. If Joseph had not been thrown into a pit to die, his brothers wouldn't have sold him to slave traders. He wouldn't have been sold to Potiphar's household. And if he had not been sold, he wouldn't have been unfairly accused and thrown into prison. And he wouldn't have interpreted two prisoners' dreams. And if he had not, he wouldn't have been called upon to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And he wouldn't have been put second in command in all Egypt. And if not, the 7-year famine would have caused millions to die, including Jacob and the nation of Israel. Joseph's own testimony came out of many trials. And he said this in Genesis 50, verse 20.
See, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring out about that many people should be kept alive. That was the summation of it all. Joseph did not justify or deny that the brothers, they had done evil. But he only shows that God can use evil for our good. The cross is the greatest example. When the Jews and the Romans, they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ and hung him on the tree. Say, yes, that man. No, it's all over now. It's all over. We got him killed. In fact, we have gone a step further. Where they buried him, we have put a very mighty stone there. So nobody will manipulate anything and say he came out or they stole him away or something like that. So, but what happened? They have been greatly disappointed. Yeah, because if Christ had not died, there wouldn't have been people like you say we are Christians. If Christ had not resurrected, we wouldn't have had victory over sin and darkness and, of course, spiritual death. So it turned out that Jesus Christ did not avoid the cross. If he considered the pain of Gethsemane, and then say, oh, this cup is too bitter for me. I can't do it. No, 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 no. I can see it all. Jesus Christ did not die by accident. He saw what was ahead. He knew what was ahead. And he went all the way to Calvary. He saw it all. But he said, no. It's going to pay. It's going to be painful now. But I see a people, I see millions of children of God coming out as a result of what is going to happen to me. Jesus Christ bore the pain for you and for me. And today we are rejoicing because Jesus conquered Satan. Amen. The Lord is good. The cross is the greatest example of what can happen out of the evil that the Jews and the Romans planned at that time and they executed. Thank God he arose. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11:25. Let's also read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 8. It brings out graphically what I've just explained to you. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 8. Well, let me start from verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, praise the Lord, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But somebody paid the price. Today, we are rejoicing that Jesus conquered Satan. Amen. If Jesus had allowed the pains of the cross, to if he wanted to avoid it, if he sent down angels from heaven to fight for him, which he could have done if he wanted to, but he did not, we wouldn't be victorious today. And somebody has said, if life hands you a lemon, makes a lemonade out of it. Amen. Yes. If we are to turn trials into triumphs and testings to testimonies, we need to observe and do the following. Number one, rejoice. Secondly, recognize. Thirdly, remain. And lastly, request. Number one, rejoice. James 1:1-2 tells us we should rejoice when we pass through hardships and trials and temptations. Ordinarily, we don't want to rejoice when we are facing hardship. But God Almighty, who knows the best, he says we should rejoice. Amen. Because out of it all is going to come out a better you. God sees the end from the beginning. You are seeing the pain and the inconveniences for now, but God is seeing the hereafter, and that is why you rejoice. By faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. When Apostle Paul was before King Agrippa, he had this to say in Acts chapter 26 verse 2. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all of which I'm accused of by the Jews. Paul was not afraid to stand before King Agrippa. But what he was thankful for is the opportunity to testify for Jesus. See how he handled the situation. He chose to be happy in trials. It was this same attitude that made him with Silas to sing praises while he was in prison. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas praise. They worship God and they rejoice, and the prisoners heard them. And because of that, there was divine intervention. There was a supernatural earthquake that caused the prison doors to be opened. May the Lord open every prison door that has been locked against you in the name of Jesus. There are some people who are in spiritual bondage. Don't know how to get off it. May the Lord open them in Jesus' name. Yes, but the attitude is what matters. So the attitude during trials, rejoice. In trials and testings, God doesn't leave us alone nor forget us. He wants us to rejoice because he's in control. Be at peace. Even in all the turbulence you are facing right now, challenges unknown to us, unknown to the pastors, you are facing some kind of private and hidden and personal challenges. God knows about it all. Rejoice and relax in the Lord because he will get you out of it. Troubles and trials are not permanent. They will come and they will go. But your attitude is what matters, and that's what we're talking about. Secondly, recognize. Recognize that God has a plan for us and for you, and that trials of our faith is to test if it is genuine. There are many people who profess to be Christians, but it's during trials they actually know whether they are Christians or not. Do you believe that? Yes. Faith is always tested. God tested Abraham to see if his faith was genuine, and Abraham passed the faith, and today we are children of Abraham by faith. Satan tends to bring out the worst in us, but God tests to bring out the best in us. Amen. Patience and endurance are obtained through trials. Trials bring out the Christ-like godly character in us. Job recognized this, and he believed that after the trial, he will come forth like gold. Even the Lord Jesus Christ told the Laodicean church, say, buy of me gold tried in the fire. Revelation 3, verse 18. Now we've made references to gold and trial and furnace. Let me tell you a little bit about what goldsmiths do. And many of you have trinkets, you have jewelries of gold and all that. But do you know what that gold passed through? Do you know what it was like when it was an iron? It was gold ore just from the soil. Dirty looking, not attractive, but see what goldsmiths do. Goldsmiths put this same ore into the furnace. The purpose is to burn away all the chaff. All the dross. Burn away the dross and the chaff, and then the real gold will come forth. But then they are not satisfied. They will still subject the gold to further heat treatment. They put it there until a particular period. Somebody was inquisitive one day and he asked a goldsmith, at what time do you look at the clock? You just keep this gold inside the furnace and it keeps on in there. At what time do you remove the gold and then make it and mold it into trinkets and jewelries? He said, we watch it, and at the time we see our reflection in that gold, we say, yeah, it is done. That is the point. God watches over you during trials and testings, and he will surely bring you out at the due time. Not 1 second over.
Because he wouldn't allow you to be overwhelmed by the trial. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 to 13, we see something there too. Let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13. This is what it says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange things happen to you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you, and on their part is even spoken of, but on your part is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Praise the Lord. Verse 16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Praise the Lord. Number three aspect, talking about the attitude during trials and temptations, remain. Trials produce maturity and character in us. Trials don't last forever. Amen? It lasts for a short time, and depending on your attitude, you come out better. Or bitter, as the case may be. Your attitude matters. God brings us through them after they have accomplished their purpose. If we pass the test, we'll become approved and receive the crown of life. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Yeah. Then lastly, requests. Our attitude during trials. Requests. Request for God's help in trials. In trials, we should request for God's wisdom. When Peter started walking on water, his eyes were fixed on Jesus. And he walked successfully through the water, just like Jesus. But the moment he saw waves, saw too much, he started to look at the waves. No, he started sinking. May we not sink in the trials of life in Jesus' name. We should look and hold on to the unchanging hand of God. Amen. Persevere in depending on God. And let trials make us better and not bitter. Jesus tells us in John chapter 16 verse 33. Say, these things have I spoken unto you. In me might have peace. In the world it shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. In trial, Jesus helps us. He's our comforter, he's our strengthener, and he helps us overcome trials. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 to 5, that we should endure hardness. As good soldiers of Christ, we should endure hardness. We are soldiers of Christ, amen? Yes. When soldiers are at war, and they are being shot and they are in pain, do they cry out and weep like women? Women, I'm sorry, you are more emotional than men. So even little things make you weep. But men, you can endure. As soldiers of Christ, endure hardness. Endure hardness. And put your trust in the Lord. And it will be glorious when you come out of it. Amen. You see, there's one thing about trials and Christians. God doesn't say because you are a child of God, you'll be immune from trials and testing. No. It's not only unbelievers that have trials. In fact,
trials is even more relevant to the Christian, because the trial of faith, Satan wants you to sink down, you know, and forget about God. But in it all, when you overcome, you become purer and better Christian. So what really happened is that the ungodly, they don't have what you have. You have Christ. And so when there are challenges and hardship, you pray to God. You have all this attitude we just talked about. And you depend on God to bring you out. Unbelievers, do they have any God like that? No. That's what makes the difference. So when they are faced with challenges, in no time they become depressed, become discouraged and hopeless. And a number of them think of committing suicide in hardship and trials and testings. For Christians, it ought not to be so at all. Amen. Yes. In hardship and difficulties, put our trust in the Lord. We are not like unbelievers, because unbelievers are helpless when it comes to that. They say, oh, all hope is lost. What else? What else in this life? They easily give up. Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is very small. So be strong in the Lord. Amen? And I want to quote this from Brother Frisbee. The word of prophecy that Brother Frisbee gave said, quote, behold, said the Lord, I'm always present with you. I neither come nor go. To be exact, I am your comforter. And always at hand and never at a distance. Yea, even as the wind bloweth, you cannot see it, but you know that it is there. Yea, I'm always with you. But you must know this by faith and trust. Not one of my promises will fail them that rely upon me. I have upon my fingers what my people need. Amen. So in time of trials, put your trust in the Lord. He also has this to say concerning trials. He says some people get out of the will of God because severe trials and tests come to them. But oftentimes, when you are in the very will of God, is when it seems to be the hardest for a while. Let me say something here. There are some people who think that it's those who disobey God that undergo trial. I don't know how they get that idea. When somebody is rich, I say, oh, he must have sinned. Oh, you know, something is wrong with him or her. That is why he's experiencing trial. That's very, very wrong. Very, very wrong. So regardless, still unquote, regardless of circumstances, one must hold to faith and the word of God. Amen. And the clouds will clear and the sun will shine. Amen. When there is trial, it appears, oh, there's no more sun. It's like a gloomy sky. All is weary and cloudy. But the sun will shine again. Amen. Don't forget, you will have your cloudy days and your sunny days. Faith, patience, and time will work for us, proving you are in His will. Praise the Lord. Now we read from John chapter 16 verse 33. Trials and persecutions, are they the same? There's something common about them. But persecution is purely on account of your faith. I mean, yes, it's purely on account of your testimony as a child of God. Persecution is happening to many Christians today in many parts of the world. In many parts of the world, you cannot congregate like this. In many parts of the world, you cannot even teach your children the word of God. In many parts of the world, legislations are going on that they should not publicly read the Bible or even be seen with a Bible. Things are happening all over. The world is rounding up. Jesus is coming very soon. Amen. So let us know all the present trials and tribulations and the problems that we are seeing. They are telling us that Jesus is coming. Even in Charles Price's prophecy, has this to say. It says some trials will be of absolute necessity for the cleansing away of all remaining infirmities of the natural mind and the burning away of all woods, trouble, and nothing must remain in the fire. So shall he purify the sons of the kingdom. Book of Malachi say, as a refiner's fire, so shall he purify the sons of the kingdom. It's not always the same kind of trial. Some pass this way and some that way. Some experience fire, some experience flood, some experience, you know, different hardship of different kinds. But all should put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The trials of the last day will serve as a refiner's fire, to refine the gold out of this. The Lord will present himself with a purified bride. Do you believe that? Faith for crisis. Listen to that message. You're going to pass through some things. Behold, I prophesy that the last move will come during a time of unparalleled trouble in the world. Famine, war, earthquakes, storms of staggering proportions. All things will get worse as the coming of the Lord draws near. International calamity will mingle with the awesome display of God's power. As these things are happening, at the same time, we are to wait for the outpouring of the latter rain. Amen. We should put our trust in the Lord. Many Christians, millions of Christians have a great time suffering at this time. So we should empathize with them and know that these are indicators that the Lord's coming is very, very soon. Somebody sent a message on WhatsApp to me, and the message is talking about the gathering storm. How that various religious groups, they are preparing for the end of time and preparing for the battle of Armageddon. And then the person was now asking a question. He said, what are you doing as Christians? I laughed over that. Why? Because God is not preparing Armageddon for us. Amen. We are the one that we, with Christ, we are going to fight the Antichrist and his sister during the battle of Armageddon. Before then, there's the translation of the saints. Amen. So ours is not to wait for the battle of Armageddon. Ours is to wait for the outpouring and the rapture of the saints, the translation of the saints. The saints will be caught up and together with Christ will come in the second advent to judge the Antichrist system. That's our portion. So it's not for Christians to be bothered about the battle of Armageddon. The Antichrist will reign supreme when the elect is raptured, when the bride is gone in the translation. So we should get our priorities right and pray right as well. There are international calamities all over. The world is craving for one world religion and one world government. That is what is happening at this time. They are praying. Children of God should pray for translation, pray for the revival. Amen. The great tribulation is not meant for us. Jesus Christ told us that there's a way of escape. And that is why in Luke 21:33-36, says we should watch and pray so that we'll be able to escape those things. So those ones shouldn't bother you. But before then, there are lesser trials and hardship and testings that is common to all of us. And that's what is referred to in John 16:33. So what I've told you this morning is how to face trials and hardship in this life. Our portion is to go with the Lord and not to face the great tribulation. May the Lord help you and I to overcome in Jesus' name. I want to pray for some people passing through some difficult times, unknown to me, unknown to the pastors, unknown to anybody, but you know what you're passing through. You know what your relations are passing through and it's affecting you. May the Lord intervene in a supernatural way to lift that burden, that cloud, and cause the sun to shine in your life in the name of Jesus. Yes, after trials come triumph.
May you come out triumphant and glorious and give wonderful and tangible testimony to the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Whatever confronts you, you are a winner. I declare you a winner in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in this victory. You are victorious in Jesus' name.